And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Andy White and Nick Butler talk social media.
I think if we have an intro that's based on people scripting it, they're not going to get it.
So what do you think we should say?
Conversations around social media, technology, two of the brightest social media entrepreneurs in the south of England today.
Yeah, let me write that down.
I think the idea is we've got to go around every cafe in the south of England and record a different episode each one.
What should we call it, though?
It's all about social media. It's Andy White and the Loudmouth Man. Social media white noise.
I like it.
And now... Oh, sod it. Everything they just said.
I'm Real Air. Hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Pod Andy White, and I'm with...
A.K.A. Loudmouth Man, Nick Butler, a.k.a. There we are. New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. Welcome
New Year's
to
Eve.
Episode show 29.
It's New Year's Day plus
New Year's
three.
New Year's Day plus three.
It's the 4th of January. My birthday was yesterday. I was 48.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you. This was un-Facebooked of you.
It was on Facebook.
Was
you
it?
Just didn't look, Nick.
I didn't look on Facebook. See, there we go. That was my social media start.
Faux pas
now.
For the year.
Actually, yes, it's the new way you can be insulted by your friends, isn't it? The lack of paying attention. All this information is out there. Now your friends don't pay attention to it. So you find out precisely how lonely you are.
Unsocial media.
The unsocial media. I shall un-Facebook you.
On Twitter.
Oh, well, I do apologise for that. And how is this side of 40 feeling for you?
Oh, no different. I had a great Christmas, though.
Well, you did, yes.
Yes, I had a great Christmas.
You spent it mostly...
with the in-laws. I get on very well with the in-laws.
Whereas I spent it mostly with fun viruses and bugs and generally...
Real viruses, yeah. Well, as opposed to computer viruses.
It's always that wonderful time when you have really small children at Christmas because they can really get into it and get really excited by it. Unfortunately, they can get so excited by it, they won't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then both parents are not feeling too on top of it anyway, so they're tired from that. And then the kids are overtired because they haven't gone to sleep all night. So then Christmas morning rolls around and they're desperate to open the presents at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and of course Harry's not even two yet, so we've got another year or so before this kicks in for him as well.
And sure, yeah.
All the fun will really kick off then.
Well, we're of the nouveau Christmases because we, I think it was Christmas Day or the day after Christmas Day, the kids came down because my daughter is 13 and my boy's 18. 18? No, 11. 7 years, 7 years out there. And how could I do that? And he just said, look, Mum and Dad, we've been having a meeting and we don't think Santa is real anymore. And we said, well, how do you work that out then?
Santa's real.
And they said, oh, we reckon it's you and Mum. In the stockings, so I went, yes, results, no more sneaking around on Christmas Eve.
Because Santa is, of course, it's Jesus light. Santa is religion light. Santa is the first level of inducting your children into make-believe mysterious benefactors who will punish you for badness and praise you for goodness.
Well, yeah, but Santa doesn't punish you for badness. He just doesn't give for badness.
Social, philosophical, religious education white noise. So we'll go off now before we completely blighted people with some view.
Yeah, we've wasted the first 5 minutes of the show just bantering about basically nothing. What's on the agenda today, Nick Holmes?
We have agendas. We have things to talk about. Stephen, who's left a comment on last month's show.
This is Mr. Smythe, isn't it? Stephen Smythe.
Asking about multiple DNSs and hacking. I'd like to talk about ebook readers because, yes, I've been looking at buying an ebook reader. I am actually using ebooks at the moment on the iPhone. And if you sort of follow Loudmouth Man and the interviews I do with authors at Forbidden Planet, I take time to sort of talk to them about what ebooks will mean to signings and book signings and how that will change. And of course, this morning's great news is lead singer of U2, Bono, has come out and continuing to just jump on the rest of the shark and the Lars Ulrich sort of position here, saying it's the lead singer of Metallica, saying
Metallica. That was U2.
No, it's Lars
sorry,
Ulrich,
sorry,
the other guy.
So, yeah.
Basically, you know, piracy is killing the music industry, and there are lost funds and lost monies because of internet
service providers. So he's in the Sharky camp. The Fergal Sharky
camp. So he's
camp.
The big believer that piracy has increased. But never mind the fact that was it Apple was selling U2 based iPods that you could download via the internet, and it was singularly very successful. And didn't Apple set up this huge business in the middle of all this piracy?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of suggest that, you know, the figures never match the fantasies. And speaking of fantasies, couple of weeks off, as we all had, brain dead scenario, zero effort thinking. I played video games, Dragon Age of Origins, Batman Arkham Asylum, Modern Warfare 2, and really sort of found out some of the additional layers of social media that have been kicking about. So there we go.
And I would like to talk about, if we've got time at the end, not Google Apps for your domain, because I think we've thoroughly covered that now.
Oh, I don't know. There's actually some new stuff we've been playing with it, but do go on.
But this whole concept of the conversations. So basically, when you are at a blog and you make a comment, the ability to get informed when someone comments on your comment, which I believe now is a core feature of WordPress, but we'll talk about that at the end.
Speaking of being informed on your comment, we should probably inform the listeners that we are in which cafe today?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Cafe.
Sorry, I just started typing, and of course, because it's a Mac, or my focus wasn't right, it just went all over the place, but never mind.
It's the long pauses in our podcast that people enjoy.
This is the Cafe Felice, not the Cafe Delice, which we've been to before, but the Cafe Felice, which is on the main North Street, which is the main drag through Brighton. It's sort of parallel to the coast, but up from the coast a bit.
And not only do they serve really excellent coffee in proper-sized cups. So, okay, it's not a mug of coffee. I'm not looking at free refills here. But they have these homemade cakes.
Yes.
And so I believe they are homemade because, you know, in industrial factory-sized made cakes don't usually come out at this size and this quality. So I'm enjoying this rather sort of moist, which is a good word for podcasting, is moist.
Oh, yes.
Apple and rhubarb cake. So they are our host today. And yeah, we'll get around to talking about WordPress plugins and comments and threads.
I saw this this coffee shop several months ago. It's only been here a few months. And I looked in it, I thought, looks interesting. And I was scared to come in because I thought it was really posh and expensive. But the coffee's a reasonable price.
Coffee's a reasonable price, cake's a reasonable price.
It's very
good quality.
Nice. It's a very nice environment, very sort of a bit shiny and a bit sort of smooth woody. And
I'm left
big.
With a reluctant problem, though, of realising that I'm going to finish my coffee before the podcast finishes.
And me too.
Since we don't edit this podcast or pause it or stop it in any way, we are going to run out of coffee. So let's get back on. The coffee is fantastic. It's got that rich, dark colour to it.
Here we go.
It's the Cafe Americano. It's brown. It's nutty. Not too oily at all, not too bitter. It feels freshly pressed and freshly steamed right out of the machine and into the beans and into the cup. Fantastic.
Which is a perfect segue into Stephen Smythe's question about multiple DNS.
It's almost the perfect, yes, because multiple beans and cafe beans. So, Stephen, you're concerned about... piracy and you're concerned about man-in-the-middle attacks. When I was discussing multiple DNSs, I think actually what I'm trying to get at here is that if you're running your own DNS server, so if you're on Windows, there's a product called Treewalk DNS, which you can use. If you're on Linux, you can just use Bind, which is actually the same DNS servers that your internet service providers are using.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get into how to configure them because it's more than half an hour. I have put together a screencast on loudmouthman.com. If you go to screentoaster.com/loudmouthman, you'll find my screencasts are in there, which details how to set up your own DNS server. But the point is, it's not that you have your own DNS server. The point is that you need a secure connection from where your laptop is in the public environment back to your DNS server, or a DNS server that you know you can trust.
Mm.
Because if I'm using public Wi-Fi, and I might have a secure connection back to my server, but in the meantime, I'm making DNS or domain name lookup inquiries in a public DNS server. So I might be told, oh, the DNS that you want to use, or I may have set the DNS to be Google's DNS. Irrespective of what I'm choosing, if I'm trusting the man in the middle, I might actually be going through somebody else's device that maybe take packets that are bound for DNS inquiries and dropping them at their point.
Yeah.
And then returning a response, spoofing the results. So they spoof their IP. So they say, we're pretending to be from this location. Here's the answer you were looking for. Here's the address that you need. And they can then choose to change those addresses. So that the net result is that you may not be getting the connection that you think you're getting, which is, of course, what this Twitter hack was all about. People were concerned about Twitter because, like, Twitter's been hacked. Well, actually, it was the DNS that was hacked, so it wasn't actually Twitter. And the reason everybody didn't see this problem was because people who had their own cached copies of Twitter's address were getting their cached copies of Twitty's address
yes.
and going to the correct site.
Yes.
There's an awful lot on this topic. I recommend listening to and watching Hack 5 at revision3.com/hack5. It has a regular weekly show that talks about hacking, security, and how it happens. Darren Kitchen talks about a product called the Yasiga, which is a cheap little sort of embedded device that basically runs as a wireless access point to act as the sort of man in the middle packet collection. And it basically does the job of beginning to sort of spoof out information. So people who are in a public environment may not realize they're not served securely. So hopefully that answers that question. It's not about getting multiple DNS servers to add security. It's about securely connecting back to another location and servicing your request for DNS from there. Because if you're in a public environment, your secure connection goes over their connection, back to where you need to be, and you know that that connection doesn't have a man in the middle. Don't know it, but you have the best belief that it's better than a public environment. So that is what that is about.
This is why some people run their own DNS servers and have a VPN to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, the whole point of a VPN is it's basically a tunnel back to a secure service.
Yes.
So if you're using something like LogMeIn, you're getting a secure connection via LogMeIn back to your home machine. And from there, back out to another machine. But the problem with that is that it's a desktop reflected in a desktop, and you may not need that bandwidth. You might simply want to have a secure lookup to internet connectivity and a secure relay of a website back to your site. So there's a give and a take here. And there are levels at which you might want to implement it. But hopefully that has answered the question. If not, hack5 at revision3.com/hack5. That's where to go and look at that.
Good answer, Nick.
Long answer. Quick slurp of coffee. Next topic.
E-book readers and the...
E-book readers.
The piracy ponderances.
So you don't have an e-book reader? I think this is going to be the year for e-book readers. And I think it's going to be the year for e-book readers.
Why you think that?
Because mobile phones are gadgets that are no longer the things that you can pull out and show off with. Netbooks are no longer the gadgets you can pull out and show off with. No, every year, a few years or so, there's something new as a gadget you take out and show off. I think e-book readers are going to be the show-off gadget for the next year. I think we're going to see a lot more people using them and a lot more people looking over shoulders and asking questions. We believe Apple are going to bring out a thing called the iSlate.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Which might be an e-book killer.
Well, I've heard it might use a completely different business model of streaming podcasts, but that's a different topic.
But before we even get onto that, let's just go back to a couple of things. A lot of people say, I don't like e-books for the following reasons. I like to hold a book in my hand. Yes, so do I. The problem with an e-book is that, you know, you've got power supply and blah, blah, blah. Yes, that's true. So let's ignore, because they are valid points, but music, you know, if you've listened to vinyl music and you listen to MP3s, you'll realise that the vinyl music is richer and deeper and it's a better quality. But what we're actually talking about with ebooks is something that you don't get with conventional paperbacks, which is convenience. For me at the moment, I'm using three products on my iPhone. I'm using Stanza, Barnes & Noble's e-reader, and Amazon's Kindle application.
Oh, right.
Just to try all three out. Now, there are a number of different formats for ebooks out there. And obviously we've got PDFs, which are very popular, EPUB, publication format, Mobi Book, and Amazon's Kindle format as well.
Right.
This isn't going to be a discussion about how these things work or operate, because I think that's something we're going to see in the next year or so. But what I came to was a realization that there are a number of problems that I'm going to have with owning ebooks. The first one is that I'm a big fan of Terry Pratchett, enjoy reading Pratchett like most people out there, enjoy getting the book. And of course, one of the things that as a couple you'll do is you'll buy the book and one of you will read the book before the other and you hand the book on. So if I'm getting an ebook and I download that ebook to my e-reader and I've finished reading it, unless we are operating a shared account, which with Amazon it's possible to have five Kindles connected to one account. Unless we're operating a shared account, Sharon can't read that book. She has to borrow my reader because there's no way for me to take a book and share it, which kind of seems to be the point. At the moment, Andy is currently ignoring me.
No.
I'm looking at the levels
of
the screen.
I'm just wondering what these big sort of wind-like waves are on my channel, but never mind. We'll just put a 100 hertz filter on at the end. I'm sure everything will be fine. Carry on, Nick.
More technical. We'll come back to that again. So we can't share. We can't share books. So I'm realizing the first problem I have is I don't have a way of buying a book that I want to read that Sharon will want to read. So suddenly the ebook reader becomes something of books that I'm likely to read exclusively, and Sharon isn't. I'm currently reading ebooks because I'm getting the opportunity to review books before they go to print. So I'm quite a phenomenal book reader, and I'll read a lot of books through the day. If I'm on the train, that's when I want to sit and read a book. If I'm finding myself with a few minutes to spare, I can sit and read the book, surf the net, etc. So the convenience for me here is my iPhone becomes my ebook reader, and my ebook reader is then the collection of books that I have to review. So I
Doesn't
can
it
read
kill
them.
The battery, Nick, reading a book
Actually,
on an iPhone?
No, it's not killed the battery at all. I find surfing the internet kills it far faster.
Okay.
I've spent, a whole couple of days reading a book, and it's just fine. The other thing I find is that with running an ebook reader, you finally get something that as a child would have been the perfect mix of staying up late. It's a book with a built-in torch.
Ah, yeah.
So, obviously we have a young child who doesn't sleep too well occasionally, and he needs to come in and sleep with his mum and sleep with us, and therefore the lights need to be off. And of course I want to read a book because I'm still awake and trying to sort of zero down my brain and read a book.
Yeah.
So now I'm able to bring the covers down, get underneath the covers, switch on the iPhone, it's got its own backlight, and I can read a book. And the lights are off. So I've got a book and a torch all in one. It's brilliant. It's like, this is where it works for me.
I'm just visualising it now, Nick. Maybe I don't want to visualise it. Okay.
So now we're left with the next thing. Is obviously, one of the things about owning a book is you sometimes get the chance to meet the author. And in meeting the author, you ask them to sign your book. How are we going to tackle book signings in the era of e-books? Because I don't want him signing my iPhone, because it's not a social object that I'm going to keep on a long period of time. I don't want to sign my Kindle, although he could sign my Kindle, but it's like, actually, it's just a device, and if it breaks, it goes back to Amazon, and they're more likely just to send me a refurbed unit than send me my Kindle back, so that's actually a big loss for me. One of the things, and I was talking about this with Dan Asaya, who's the marketing, senior marketing manager, etc., bad terms, for ForbiddenPlanet.com. And she organises a regular series of Meet the Author events at Forbidden Planet. And she's sort of turned these into little mini conventions. I view them very much as like backroom band events in the same sort of way that most bookshops, when you have Meet the Author thing, will have the author sat behind a table and there's always the gap and there's always one person at a time. And it's always, there's like, yes, go in, get signed, go away.
Yes, yeah. You can't hang
so
around.
So she's created this thing like Meet the Author, where several authors will get together with their books. All the book releases are happening about the same time. And you just walk in and talk to the authors. And you're talking to them. They'll sign your books. They'll answer your questions. They'll chat to you. There's no distance being kept. There's no PR requirement. You know, as long as you're not squeezing the talent, nobody really cares. But it's brilliant. You get the opportunity to meet them. And I've been using this as an opportunity to interview them and record these interviews. And ask them, how do they see ebooks changing these signings? Because obviously, if I have an ebook, how are they going to sign them? Now, Danny Ware came up with the idea of a vinyl sleeve cover for your reader that actually has an insertable sort of book cover format that can be signed by authors. You see, if you go into Forbidden Planet, the table where the authors usually sit and stand, every one of them is asked to sign the top of the table. So this whole table is covered with signatures.
Cool.
And it suddenly becomes something which is more of a social object, because you could basically begin to go to your author and say to your author, sign here. Now, this becomes a lot more social because the author begins to see the other signatures of other authors and can comment on and can see and can also begin to realise the trends and interests of that particular person. So I think we've got a way that actually it will change, and I can see places like Forbidden Planet. I don't think books are going to disappear overnight. I don't see that happening at all.
No.
But I see somebody like me who has a large amount of books that I enjoy reading that Sharon's never going to read, putting it on an ebook and having an ebook reader that I might get my author to sign, but it'll be nothing to do with the collection of books that we have that we share and enjoy.
It's something personal to you.
It's something personal to me. But we're still back to that problem of...
This ties into that previous conversation we had about physical objects versus digital
exactly.
objects.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and we've just talked, we just touched then about Sharon and I sharing a book.
Yeah.
But what if my kids want... I mean, the thing about having lots of books in a house, if you have children, is the children will look at the books and may eventually get curious to pick one out and read it.
Mm.
But with an e-book collection, they won't get that choice.
Mm.
They won't get that chance. They certainly won't have the exposure or the opportunity. It'll be... That's where it is. Now, to a certain extent, as I see my children growing up, things like Facebook and the experience I had in playing video games, there's that opportunity for discovery in the fact that these video games already have the sort of social networks. And when I'm friends with somebody, I can see what games they're playing.
Mm.
And it may not be a game that I own. So I then have the opportunity to go and play that game. And of course, I'm discovering games that way. So will there be the same sort of thing available for books where we'll have that same... I mean, I belong to a thing called Shelfari, and in Shelfari you can see my collection of books.
Mm.
You see the books that I've enjoyed reading, and you can then see the books that you own that are similar and books that we might both appreciate.
Mm.
So these mechanisms are coming into play. So it'll be interesting to see how they change in 10 years' time. You know, if we're listening to this podcast in 10 years' time, if we have anything to play them on, will we see that we've seen that change, or will we... As I still believe, there'll be a large amount of bookshops selling books, because those will be the early release candidates before the books come out on ebook.
We'll have brain implants and we'll just listen to the podcast on those.
But
I had this idea of the iTunes party mix, but for books. So it just randomly takes a snippet, does a text to voice of that snippet of book. But that could go horribly wrong. Well, whole family's around breakfast and suddenly it selects, you know, one of your sexually erotic books, Nick, and starts reading that section out to the family.
Or the Perry Bible Fellowship stuff, which is, you know, quite esoteric. But I'd like to, I mean, I'd certainly invite anybody who's a reader, an avid reader of books, who hasn't experienced an ebook yet, to go and give it a play. Don't buy an ebook reader, just play with the software. If you've got an iPhone, you've got an iTouch,
yeah,
play with that software.
I shall certainly download the Amazon. Does that allow you to buy Amazon books?
Yep.
Okay.
In the normal
Kindle
It's a Kindle format.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is that obviously now I've bought that book there. If I own a Kindle, it'll be downloaded to my Kindle.
Yeah.
So
this is also a very nice example of the app becoming the store.
Yes.
Isn't it? Which is basically what the Kindle
is,
but now it's software.
What Apple have already done with music.
Yeah. Yes. Via iTunes. Yeah.
And
as Nick takes a not a swig, but some more bites of his delicious-looking thing.
It is fantastic. Now, Amazon can do this with books, and I think people trust Amazon with books. Mm. Not saying deliveries lately, but books. People seem to trust Apple with music.
Mm.
Of course, this is just creating a huge amount of sheer sort of terror and animosity for the film industries and for the music industries that had traditional models for getting this stuff out. Having made deals with these people and now seeing that these deals are turning into new deals they weren't expecting and resulting in products they weren't expecting.
Mm.
But what I continue to find interesting is in Bono's declaration that, you know, internet service providers and users are causing this big issue in the music industry, and things like Simon & Schuster are thinking of delaying the release of an ebook by several months after a hardback has been released, like you get with paperbacks, to discourage people from not buying the hardback. Is it constantly seems to me that in order to fight the pirates who actually are not making the hit on the bottom line, they constantly have to penalise the consumer. The legitimate owner of the product is the person who has to be penalised because of the paranoia of the owner of the product over how that utility will be used.
So you're saying they're penalising the end user by making the electronic version appear later than it would have otherwise? Mm.
I mean, and in a certain way, this actually encourages piracy, which then reinforces their argument.
Mm. Mm.
As opposed to, let's make it available at the same time. In fact, let's make it available to people who've bought the hardcover copy to get the ebook copy, because you know what? That's a bigger buy for me, and it's zero cost to them. If I've bought the hardback copy, give me the opportunity to download the electronic copy.
Comment on this. I have seen a couple of DVDs recently, and I can't remember what they were, where on the DVD cover it says, with free download.
Yes.
You can download to your computer and play on it.
Yes, I've seen this.
Are they DRM protected?
There are DVDs now and music albums which are selling with download TweetDeck for free. And you get all these channels pre-built in.
Okay.
And it's, there is obviously this sort of integration of bringing one vertical market and bringing it into another one. How that will stimulate the buyer Because the thing I find in all of this argument is, when we were doing this with music, when this was a conversation about music, you and I could take our DVD collections and we could put them into iTunes by ripping them, and they would be a copy available to us in our MP3 player. We are not going to be able to do that with our own existing book collections. So e-readers won't have that step up that MP3 players had. There won't be that sudden, oh, we can now do this. I can't simply buy an e-reader and immediately have my complete collection available. Now, as I say, I use a product called Shelfari, where I keep a sort of electronic record of all the books I own that I can share out. That was bought by Amazon. It would be the work of nothing for Amazon to say, you know what, you've got this in Shelfari, you've owned it here, you know, 70p, you can download it from us. Now, obviously, that's not going to stop piracy, because it also stopped me sending all my copy of books to somebody else and they can do it. But then again, if I'm doing that and they're gaining 70p for each one of those books anyway, that's a half of something being better than all of nothing. And it's still killing off the piracy question. So I don't see the piracy thing as ever going away. I think it's always going to be the boogeyman in the argument.
The boogeyman.
I'm constantly tired. Well, we're talking about music as well, so it is the boogeyman. Yes, it might be the bad of Christmas, but...
Sorry, I shouldn't sing over the show. Okay, we're 25 minutes in. We might have to be a bit selective of what we talk about. I really want to talk about getting comments on comments in WordPress.
Okay, so I'm in the discussion settings.
Yeah. I should tell you where this all came from.
So I was
tweaking all my... You eat while I talk. I was tweaking my WordPress settings just about a week or two before Christmas. And I was reading a few blogs and things. And it suddenly occurred to me, I'd read it somewhere on a blog. And I think it was... anyway, never mind. Lynn Terry, I think, mentioned it in one of her blogs. On her blog, Click News with a Z. And she was saying, make it so that your people who comment on your blog can see when somebody comments on their comment, and I think she suggested a plugin. And it got me thinking. And apparently, Nick tells me that this ability of your commentors to be to get a notice when someone has commented on their comment, including the author of the blog itself, is built into the core of WordPress. I didn't realise this, and Nick is about to reveal to us
that he was wrong.
Oh, he's looking. He's desperately searching online now, and he's found out.
Okay, so in the discussion settings,
yeah,
there is the functionality that says comments authors must fill out name and email. You can enable threaded comments.
What does that mean?
So that one person can reply to another person's comments,
and it appears threaded in.
And it appears as a thread.
Oh, okay, but that doesn't inform them if someone comments on their comment.
And that therefore holds comments over.
Yeah.
And then what I'm just going to look at here is the plugins for comments.
Now, I discovered one plugin, but the problem with it, apparently it's got a bug. And if you do something, it re-emails all the people that it's emailed in the past about comments. If you reset something, I forget what it was. If you deactivate the plugin and reactivate it, it spams all of your commenters, which isn't
very
good.
Well, there's the subscribe to comments plugin.
That was the one, I think.
And then there's add to any subscribe button. And there's a couple of comment remixes. There's comment notifier. A lot of people last year and the year before got into using a product from a company called CoComment.
Yes.
And another one from Discus.
Yes, I've heard of Discus.
And in fact, Discus is used on the Blogger threads as well. And basically, that's an embedded commenting platform. So the comments are no longer inside your blog. The comments are actually stored on another service provider who link those comments back to your site in that request.
Oh, okay.
And that means that they're doing their spam blocking, spam checking and everything else for you.
Right.
But they're also then saying, this person who's commented on this blog, you can then go and have a look at their profile and see what else they've commented on in other blogs as well.
Interesting idea. It makes backup a nightmare, but never mind.
So, yeah, well, I mean, basically you are able to take your copy of your comments as an RSS feed and bring them back out as well.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, what you're into there is that comments on your blog are then not on your blog, they're on somebody else's system.
They look like they're on your blog.
And it looks like,
in reality,
this might not work if somebody's using a really low-level way to view your web page.
Yeah.
Of course, it won't be included in the web page because it's actually coming from another site.
It's all JavaScript-y and stuff.
So, because it's JavaScript and iframe and embeds.
Right. Yeah, okay. Now, don't you think this should be a core feature of WordPress?
I think it's a core feature. And the reason I'm convinced it's a core feature is that I'm fairly sure if we look inside development track, because you've got all those features built in, adding that functionality is going to come down the stream.
Yeah, it ought to be. I mean, social media is all about joining the discussion and knowing when someone has commented on your status or commented on your comment.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, it's something you want to be able to choose into. I get frustrated when I get notifications from places where I've blogged or commented that somebody else has added a comment to it. I'm thinking, well,
you don't find that useful.
I don't actually find that useful.
Actually,
at all.
Think about it. If you're commenting all the time, that's just going to get that traffic is just going to go up and up.
It doesn't actually add any.
No. An RSS feed would be better, wouldn't it?
The question would be, where is the investment? What's the value to me of having those replies? I had tried the idea once, and I never really finished this off, of instead of writing blog posts, I would write my blog posts as comments in other people's blogs.
You mentioned this before, yeah, the distributed blog.
And therefore use everybody else's blog as my blog.
Yes.
And then take all of their comments and publish that back on a central sort of Postgres type blog.
I know, discuss.
And the interesting thing, actually, Postgres has really sort of rocketed since we were talking about it last year.
Oh, right, okay.
And the amount of people, I mean, Documentally.
Yes.
Because it wouldn't be a show if we didn't mention Documentally.
That's right, we've mentioned Documentally.
He's been making a strong use of it, to a certain extent. He doesn't use Our Man Inside anymore.
Really?
I see Poppy Dinsey has been using it as every day she takes a picture of what she's wearing. This is what I wore today. And, I'm seeing it's picking up a little bit. As far as comments are going, I come to the question, what is the value that you get from seeing other people's replies to your comments on somebody else's blog post?
Yes, and now I'm questioning that. Yeah. I think it's useful when your comment is still quite fresh, possibly.
Yep.
Maybe the importance dwindles slightly as time goes by.
And what if the person's a poor manager of that site and they don't block against spam?
Ooh,
there's
whoa,
every
whoa,
good
whoa,
chance
whoa, whoa.
that spam yes. comes in as a reply to you that then ends up in your inbox as well.
Uke, yes.
And it's just basically spam that gets through to you.
Yeah. Now, maybe what you need is a plugin that says, inform the commenter of comments on his or her comments, but only for this long, maybe.
Yeah, well, some people can set it that, comments can be closed after so many days of the blog post being open, which is a feature inside WordPress.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Well, look, we better wind it up because we're at 31 minutes, fast approaching. We haven't had time to talk about some of the things, but we'll cover those next time. Any last thoughts, Nick, before we go?
Not more, really. I noticed that the next date for our show is only a few days before Apple's announcement.
Ah.
The question is whether it'll be Islate or Islate.
And we can have a chat about that, and we can do a bit of theorising about that.
See a bit of theories and plans and polls. But as ever, if you have any comments, don't forget to visit socialmediawhitenoise.com. Leave a comment on the blog. It does get emailed to us, so we do see that you've made a comment. And we do intend to get back and answer you as quickly as possible.
And I've been a very good boy. I've been answering a few stray comments in the last few days.
I could tell that you were obviously having a good quiet time.
That's right, yes. I had too much time on my hands.
He's been Andy White, a.k.a. Dr. Pod.
And he over there has been Nick Holas-Butler, a.k.a. Loudmouth Man.
Thanks very much, and catch you next time.
All the best. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Social Media White Noise, brought to you by Andy White, aka Dr. Pod, and Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. Please visit www.socialmediawhitenoise.com, where you can leave comments, listen to the show straight from the webpage, and subscribe for free. Email us at ulot@socialmediawhitenoise.com. Follow us on Twitter, Dr. Pod, and Loudmouth Man. We'd like to thank the coffee shops of Sussex, social media and technology, without whom this show would not be possible. See you soon. Peace.